Love Talk Radio.
Yo, shout out to my man Rashard Lewis.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez.
Yeah.
Kim.
Jim.
PJ. Be Austin a high block commander.
I'm the fucking war.
Keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level. Bold with the topic. Sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4-26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Good evening, sports fans, and welcome once again to another episode of The Blitzkrieg. And this is an angry show this evening because we're angry at a lot of people and a lot of things, so get ready. I'm Devin McMillan. First, let me rewind. Let me let you know that you are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me at the War Room Roundtable tonight, three members of our Justice League, slaying evil lemmings nonstop. I got Akil Bayon. What up, Akil?
What up, Dev?
I got Jimmy the Blueprint Williams. Jimbo.
What's up, homie?
And I got B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander. How you living?
Man, I'm going to change my name to Austin the Destroyer.
All right, our homie living. PJ has the night off. So tonight, we're going to discuss the hottest sports topics of the past week. And believe you me, there were a lot of them. We'll touch on Ohio State, USC being stripped, ballers getting out of the joint, former ballers heading to the joint, NBA coaching changes, NBA trade rumors, the battle going on in the NBA finals, and much, much more. As usual, we want to hear from you guys because you are what makes the war room go. So call in and holler at us when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. As usual, we want to give a quick shout-out to all the shows we listen to and we're not busting it up on the air. Peace to the Broad Street Line, the Imaginary Players, Buzz on Broad, and Ball Control Radio. And shout-out again to Danny for coming on to our pregame show on Tuesday and helping us out. If you're on an Android or iPhone, don't forget to download that free War Room Sports mobile app in the Apple App Store or the Android market. If you don't have it, you're not going to know what's going on with your favorite sports show and your favorite sports marketing company. So with that, it's birthday time.
It's my birthday. Yay!
Happy
absolutely.
Birthday.
The birthday.
Yo, before I tell me the birthday, Dev, you mentioned all the topics. Are we going to discuss Rashard Lewis taking his talent to South Beach?
Of course we're going to discuss Rashard.
Okay, all right, let's jump back into birthdays then. The birthdays are brought to you by the Days of Beauty Hair Salon. And the first birthday I want to ask you gentlemen about is one Richard J. Dick Vitale. Paul.
It's my birthday, yay!
Dick
Hot Block Commander. What you got on him, Hot Block Commander?
Dick Eat V. My man, Dick Eat V. I have never in my life seen a man other than John Gruden have cyber relations with athletes the way that Dick. It's almost like he doesn't see athletes on a regular basis. Yo, everyone is the greatest everything, and I want to make love to them all. That's Dickie D's motto.
D.C. Beer, baby!
Yo, yo.
Hey, look at this side of his goodness! Oh, my God! Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
it's the greatest show ever!
Yo, before anybody else goes, I want to let you know that...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
No, I just want you to know that, personally, I don't call him Dick Vitale. I call him Duke Vitale, because anything Duke-related, you might as well call it a rap, yo, because his name is Duke Vitale. He's like a cheerleader on the airwaves for Coach K. So when I think of Dick Vitale, I think of Duke University, believe it or not. At any rate, Dev.
Yeah, same thing as you fellas. We got Dookie V, we got Dick Eat V, we got Richard Ryder V. You know, he's just a little
Richard
too
Ryder
excited, a little too much for a little bit too many teams. Like, you can't think every person you've ever seen is the greatest player in the world, so, you know, he's getting a little older. He needs to just calm down a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yo, can I have sex with him? Yo, can I?
Yo, man, he has some interesting acronyms like we're the 3D man, drive, draw, and dish. He's a PGP-er, a prime time player. I mean, he has some great, I guess hype moments, and yeah, he does ride a little bit too hard when it comes to Duke or his certain rules when he talks about, you know, take the proven college guy over the unproven high school or overseas guy, which he has taken credit for apologizing to when he has been wrong. But, you know, hey, shout out to him for his surgery. He had, like, some kind of throat surgery, like, 2 years ago where he couldn't talk for 2 months. Seriously, he had, like, throat surgery. He couldn't talk for, like, 2 or 3 months, and now he's better. This was, like, 2 years ago.
Did the hot block commander just laugh at somebody having surgery, man? Come on, son.
That he was probably gobbling stallions or Clydesdales.
Yo, let's move on to the next birthday. I'm tired of talking about this jabroni. Yo, let's talk about Teddy LeCap Bruschi, a.k.a. the man Teddy Bruschi. So, Doc Bay, what you got on Teddy Bruschi, yo?
Yo, he has a very large cranium, Paulzito, and he's a very great, not great, he's a pretty good linebacker for the Patriots and, won some Super Bowls. Okay analyst, he's a homer, obviously, with the Patriots when he analyzes games, and that's about
mm-hmm.
it.
How about his basal ganglia? Do you think he has any control over that, considering, just a thought. At any rate, Austin, what you got to say, good brother?
Yo, he's a classic example of why you have to take into consideration scheme and team. I made a rhyme. Because Teddy Bruschi would have been nothing more than somebody running down the field really fast to bust up a wedge had he played in almost any other system. But because he stayed with the Patriots, there's actually talk of this dude being a Hall of Famer. Now, we all know that he's not and will not sniff the hall, I hope. Shout out to him for being honest and admitting on the air that he's a homer and he'll never go against Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
Yeah,
but,
at least he said it. He did. He definitely did say that.
Yeah, he kept it 100. He kept it funky, and I respect it. But now I can't respect any of his commentary because he's completely biased.
He told you straight up that he's going to be biased with the Patriots.
But I respect it. I do respect it. He was okay as a player. He was okay. Shout out to him.
Yo, real quick, before I call you down, let me say one thing about Teddy Bruschi. I agree with you, Austin. He was a product of the system, and he was. But he also performed on a big stage in AFC championships, and even in the Super Bowl, he had 2 sacks. He's up there in Super Bowl history. I think he had like the second most of all time. He had like 2 sacks in the bowl or something like that. So he produced.
Yeah.
Did you want to say that?
No, I was just saying shout out to him for coming back and playing after. Didn't he have a stroke or something?
Yeah, he had a stroke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Tonight,
yeah.
His blood couldn't circulate around that big ass head. Pause.
All right, let's move on from him. Let's talk about Predrag Peja Stojakovic, who turns 34. We call him Peja. So now, Dad, what you got on Peja?
All I got on Page is, since it's his birthday, he better do something in the NBA Finals tonight if he don't want his Mavericks to go home. Because he's been playing like nothing. And like,
yo,
Austin playing the other day, he's not even getting the kind of minutes he needs because he can't guard anybody.
Hey, Dev, last game, he ain't do nothing, yo. Yo, Austin, what you got on Page?
It's the same.
You know, throughout his career, he's been a pretty prolific scorer, utilizing a deadly jump shot. He used to have a smidget of athleticism, which showed itself on the offensive end. His one dribble pull-up game was like that. He could come off screens with the best of them. And he could give you 20 on a regular average. He could give you 30 probably, you know, 3-4 times a month. And he could give you 40 maybe twice a season. I mean, he could score with that deadly jumper. He does nothing on the defensive end. And now he does less than
that.
He does less than
on defense. Real quick, before I get to you, Kills, I want to make a point about him. You know, he's the first European player to win any kind of competition on All-Star Weekend. I won in a 3-point shootout. He's the first year-old player to ever win any kind of competition on All-Star Weekend. So just put it in there. But Doc,
never
say what
knew
you
that.
Got.
Never cared about that, but never knew. Oh, man, we both I was trying to get Bo to hang tight. He's banged up.
Doc Bay, what'd you say?
Yo, I know Dallas fans, after game one, they were calling him, you know how people used to call Jason Kidd, Ason Kidd, because he didn't have a J, and people called how we call Rajon Rondo, Rayon Rondo. In this playoffs, in this series, they've been calling Peja, because he's like shooting 30% from the field. He's supposed to be a shooter, which is why you see guys like Brian Cardinal taking his minutes. But I think Peja gets scared in big moments, to be honest, because I think back to the Sacramento series against the Lakers, where I mean they had some the Lakers had some aids from the ref, some help from the ref, but.
Here we go.
You talking about when he was playing with timeout ball?
Yeah, exactly. David Stern pulled those tapes from YouTube. Like, you cannot find those tapes of those games anywhere. He pulled them off.
He burned them like.
Is that your speculation that it was David Stern, or do you have anything to
indicate
that it was?
I have no idea. It was ironic that nobody can grab those tapes, unfortunately.
Listen, man, Chris Webber just didn't come up in the clutch, man. I don't want to blame it on the refs. He was showing that back in Michigan. Shout out to C-Web. Yo, next birthday real quick. Sebastian Telfair, a.k.a. C-Bass, turns 26.
Who?
Dad, what you got on C-Bass?
Bust.
Okay, that pretty much sums it up. Doc Fay, you got anything on C-Bass?
Why waste my time?
I was upset that they drafted him over Jameer Nelson. I think Jameer got picked like 24 and Sebastian got picked like number 7. I was like, come on, man. And then
Sebastian went in the first round. He went like number 13, I think.
Yeah, I know he went in the lottery. Yeah, he went in the lottery and Jameer got picked late in the first round. But when Rondo got picked, as soon as Rondo got drafted, I was like, yo, he's better than Telfair. I mean, we know Rondo couldn't shoot, but, you know, and then Boston was still trying to pull Telfair as their starter, and then Rondo finally took his spot.
Yeah. All I got to say about him is another hyped-up New York point guard, because people in New York swear that they point guards is like that. Shout out to all my homies in New York, but FOH. Austin, anything you want to say?
Yo, he was like Sham God Wells Part 2, I mean, and Omar Cook Part 2.
No. Not with the handle, though. Not with the handle.
Why you say that?
All right, man.
I mean, he was a good basketball player, but he didn't have the bing bings of like a Omar Cook and a Sham God. You know
what
I'm saying?
They bing bing they way out the league. We talking enough about this jabroni. Let's keep it
moving. Yo, Oscar Mayer said the same thing, yo. Last thing I want to say, I want to send an RIP shout out to my man Wayman Lawrence Tisdale. The power forward and musician, he passed. So I want to send an RIP to him. He would have been 47 today.
All right, rest in peace, Wayman.
Yeah, so with that being said, hey, Dev, tell everybody what happened when you were on the grind.
All right, y'all were on the grind. Brought to you by Philadelphia Auto Design. All right, Tiger. He's in the news again, Tiger. Hey, Jimmy, real quick before we do this on the ground, because we had a caller waiting on the line. He just came back up, so I'm gonna take my man Wade in Jersey. You're in the war room.
No doubt.
What's up?
Yeah. I wanted to ask the fellas on the panel because I was on Twitter earlier today and I saw a lot of LeBron hate. And I just wanted to ask the dudes on the panel if anybody here hates LeBron, and if so, why?
This is Dev right here. I don't hate LeBron at all. I'm actually a LeBron fan. Stuff that I say gets construed because when it comes to LeBron, it kind of seems like he's above criticism. We criticize every player in the league, but when we criticize LeBron, that word starts flying around, hate. And to me, that's corny. I mean, why is he above criticism? Like, what did you see that you would construe as hate?
Well, look, I'm the master of hate, first of all. And the thing I saw on Twitter was they were floating around the rumors about his mom sleeping with, I forget who they say, and then his fiance slept with some other
dude. Rashard Lewis.
Rashard Lewis. But real quick, just to answer your question, Jimmy. And my point is, it's funny because when it comes to LeBron, it's like it's either unnecessary hate or it's like too much love. Nobody falls in the middle. Cats either like, you know, worship the ground he walks on, and you can't even criticize his basketball game, or it's completely the other way where people just hate him for, like, you know, that's what I find in talking to people, that is, you know, I like LeBron. I think he does have flaws in his basketball game, but I think that he's probably the most talented player in the league. But with that being said, anytime you mention a flaw in his game, like Devin said, people call you a hater. In terms of what happens, like, you know, off the court, like, you know, all these players have to deal with, like, their lives, so to speak. But part of the problem is he brings his attention on himself, calling himself the king and the chosen one. So when things happen, you know, this is what they do to you. So a lot of the attention he drew on himself.
That scrutiny is going to be
there. Yeah, and this is B. Austin, a.k.a. the Hot Block Commander, a.k.a. I Destroy Lemmings. yeah, I would have to agree with everything that my esteemed colleagues have said. I don't hate him. I think he's the most talented basketball player in the association right now. But with that being said, and I don't know the brother. I haven't met him. I haven't seen him. I haven't talked to him. But I get the feeling that he doesn't have the work ethic or the personal self-constitution to stand up under all of the accolades and the pressure that he receives. And I say that because in 8 years in this league, I haven't seen enough improvement in his game, and I haven't seen that killer that I saw with a lot of the other players that I would call favorites or held to that high level. You know, not to compare him to Mike, but in this one regard where it came to having that killer and wanting to win, there's no way that Michael Jordan, and he's kind of our bar for perimeter players, there's no way that Michael Jordan would have left that game last night with only 8 points and all of those turnovers in the biggest series of his career. And so I think it's more so the things that he stands for, the things that I see him standing for and being a part of that I dislike, and then people kind of juxtapose that on top of the player himself saying that we have an issue with LeBron. Nah, it's the Dickie V crowd that sees him as doing no wrong. Come on, man. We all play ball. We all see the holes in his game. And hopefully he will improve them.
Right. Now, I got one more question. I do appreciate that. And I heard you, the brother who was just talking, you gave out a whole bunch of different nicknames and stuff like that. And you said you destroy linens. You destroy linens. What does that mean? You Peter Ben, or what does that mean exactly?
Lemmings. Lemmings. Recall that lemmings is an animal that's native to – its native habitat is northern Europe, specifically Ireland, the Ireland area. And when one lemming starts running, all the rest of the lemmings run in that same direction. And they typically end up running off cliffs. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of an analogous with a follower. You hear the hype, watch SportsCenter, you're captivated by the moment, you're captivated by the crowd, and you just run with them instead of thinking. So we're the opposite of that.
Very smart. I like that. I actually thought you said linens. That's what I was about to crack.
Oh, yeah.
That would be nasty. That would be nasty. Hey, all right, Wade, thanks for your call, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Wade.
Thanks, Wade. We appreciate it, brother.
All right, real quick on the grind. We usually don't take calls during those segments, but we had my man waiting on the line for a while. Tiger Woods has withdrawn his name from the U.S. Open. So Tiger's not going to be a part of the U.S. Open. You know, he's citing his injuries, blah, blah, blah. In tennis news, Rafael Nadal.
Hold on, real quick, Deb. Do you think Uncle Luke could help Tiger?
Uncle Luke could help Tiger out a whole lot because he got what he needs. So he need to go down there and see his uncle, and then maybe he'll be back. Nadal beats Federer to win his sixth French Open. So Nadal, he's writing quite a legacy for himself.
He does it on clay. He does it on regular surface. He does it on grass.
Young man, Lenny Dykstra. Lenny Dykstra is back in the news. Now he's been jailed for grand theft auto and some drug charges. Now, he was running some kind of scheme where he was giving false information to purchase a vehicle, and he had two accomplices. This dude's life has just fallen apart in the last few years. Bankruptcy with the sex charges. Now he has some drug possession charges on top of the Grand Theft Auto. Like, Lenny Dykstra, get your stuff together, man. I used to be a big fan of the Bulldog, man. I don't know what happened to him. And the last story, while you guys were on the grind, all right, you guys can comment on this one, but let's keep it short because we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show. Bob Arum says that Money Mayweather, matter of fact, that's the one we'll talk. We'll talk about that one later. Let's just tell you now
that Floyd
is back in the ring. Floyd is going to fight Ortiz in September. I'm pretty sure some of my colleagues got some strong comments and thoughts about that. But we'll save it when we talk about him a little later in the show.
He follows the rainbow way. He is gay. Follows the rainbow way.
That's what happened, everybody, while y'all were on the grind. Again, on the grind, brought to you by Philadelphia Auto Design.
I'm getting ready to pass that rock before I do so. To all the children that listen to the War Room, say no to drugs, don't follow Manny Pacquiao. And with that being said, for those who have never listened, Pass the Rock is with a starting five vent on their chosen sports issue or report their favorite headline of the week. So I'm going to inbound the rock to my brother Dev. Dev, what's going on with you?
You know what? This is the Angry Show, and I am actually upset about a lot of things going on in sports today, but I'm going to reserve it for when we get on the topics later on in the show. So I see that double team coming, and I'm going to pass the rock to my man, Doc Ock, Akil Bayon. Holla at him.
What's up? Before I begin my PTR, I just want to play a clip here.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Practice, man. I mean, how silly is that?
Fourth greatest all right. of all time.
Now, good evening, War Room family. I just wanted to take some time to talk about the great NBA / former NBA basketball player, Allen Iverson. Iverson said in an interview that he is looking forward to making a return to the NBA and plans on ending his playing career in the NBA rather than overseas. He was quoted as saying, "Just give me a training camp. Maybe I've rubbed people the wrong way as far as saying the things I've said in my life and in my career, but if any team needs me to help try and win a championship in any capacity, I'm waiting." Now, that is a much different tune from the one in which he said he could not see himself coming off the bench a couple years ago and how we saw playing off the bench as disrespectful. Personally, as I watch guys like Chauncey Billups, Steve Nash, who he came in the league with, Derek Fisher, who he came in the league with, Ray Allen, who he came in the league with, and Jason Kidd, who came in the league 4 years before him, and other older guards continuing to log minutes in the NBA, I wonder why AI can't get a run. As B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander, said in our famous AI Can't Get a Run YouTube video, please go check it out at warroomsportstv.com. Now, in the past, many of us here in the War Room have had numerous debates on our own about Allen Iverson and his game and his career. I always thought that he could have had a longer and more prosperous career if he focused on improving his game off the court and in practice like MJ or Kobe and becoming the best scoring point guard ever, putting up maybe 25 points a game, 12 assists, 4 rebounds, and 2 steals on 47% shooting, or just being a full-time shooting guard, as my co-hosts have debated me into accepting, who just worked on his scoring efficiency just by improving his field goal percentage and three-point percentage, which could have helped his own statistics and helped his teams get more wins. Now, at this point, I hope he gets a shot in the NBA training camp to extend his career, and he can go out the way he wants to go out. And with that, I make a pass to one of the biggest Allen Iverson fans in history, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
I personally saw nothing to indicate that Allen Iverson's career was over athletically, except for the fact that at 33 or 34 years old, you have to ask yourself, how long can somebody play at that level? It's kind of the T.O. thing. It's like you can't say the T.O. can't still dominate, but you can't give him a four-year deal either that he wants, because in 4 years, logic tells us he's not going to be at the same level. So for me, I think that's really what it boiled down to. You can't market an old star anymore, even if he can put up 25 a game. You can't make him the focal point of your team, because how long does he have left to be that focal point? So that's just my take. But very good, very good PTR, brother. I appreciate it. I'm going to be brief this go-round, War Room World. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm looking for somebody, man. And I've called the police. I've called the National Guard. I've talked to his family and friends. I've talked to his fans. I've talked to the people of Dallas. I've called the people of Miami. I called the people of Cleveland, because perhaps they know where the body's buried. But since the second quarter of the finals game on Tuesday, I have not seen LeBron James. Do you know where he is?
That's for
and
sure.
With that, I pass the rock to my man. Yo, Jimmy, go ahead and get busy.
Yo. Yo. It's terrible, man. Like I said earlier, LeBron has brought a lot of this criticism on himself. With that being said, we'll see what happens this evening. I mean, he may come out and have a great game, and then everybody be back on his jock, so we shall see. At any rate, what's up, War Room World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. The Black Charles Xavier. And this week, I have some words for people who love to argue sports and brag about titles whose statute of limitations have run out, in my opinion. As the Mavericks and Heat play for the NBA championship, people still find it necessary to contact me and talk pork chop greasy about my Lakers, even though the Lakers haven't played in weeks. I had one person who shall remain nameless call me and talk about the Lakers, even though he is a Celtics fan. Now, I remind you, the Celtics lost in the same round as the Lakers, yet he still wanted to talk his ish. He wanted to remind me how the Celtics have the most championships in NBA history. Here, let me tell you what this jabroni did. He started bragging about a championship that Bill Russell won in 1959. Yep, that's right. He was bragging about a championship that was won 52 years ago. And guess what? This jabroni is 30 years old. Yo, let me give you five different ways to know if a championship's bragging rights are past the statute of limitations. Number five, no one from that championship team is still playing in the league. If that's the case, FOH. Number four, players from the championship team have sons who now play professional sports. Cut it out. Number three, whatever clothing you wore when they won the championship, if you can't wear that anymore without jokes and ridicule, you probably should stop bragging about that championship. Number two, if the championship happened before you were born, more than likely, you should shut the hell up. And number one, if your grandparents went to the parade when the team won the championship, you should cut it out. Next time you're arguing with a Cowboys fan or a Celtics fan or a Raiders fan, remember these rules, because these, in my opinion, seem to be the fans that have a tendency to do this the most. I'm at a point right now where I'm not even going to argue. I'm just going to start stomping their ass out like Wahoo McDaniel. These people make me sick. These people are just annoying. They are as annoying as people who answer rhetorical questions incorrectly. Or they're just as annoying as people who decide to bring fish to the office for lunch and use the microwave. Or they're just as annoying as a dentist who tries to have a conversation with you while working on your teeth and you can't respond. Or people who tell long, elaborate jokes that seem to go on forever and then mess up the punchline. Very annoying. Or, my fault, you get the point. These people are annoying and they should be neutered. Next time one of these L7s start with this idiotic talk, I'm going to take a page out of Dev's grandmom's book and beat their ass until Jesus comes to save them. Nice. Shout out to Dev's grandma.
And the crowd goes wild. Yo, she say stuff like that, man.
crazy.
She said, "I'm gonna beat their ass till Jesus comes save them."
Through my nephew, if he keep lying, she does something. I'm gonna chase that lie back down your throat, something like that.
Yo, Dev, Grandma, I'm like Debo, yo.
B. Austin, you wanna tell everybody to get in contact with you?
Oh man,
do that.
Absolutely. Check out our website at warroomsports.com. Sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter, right from our homepage. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. Get down with the click, homie. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on the page. Join our Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports, all one word. Follow us on Twitter, the same, twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and friend our YouTube channel at War Room Sports TV. That's War Room Sports with a TV on the end. Yeah, we getting money. We got a TV channel. .com, warroomsportstv.com. For access to all of our media content in one place, anywhere, anytime, download the War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple device. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now, during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can also sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out our critically acclaimed and most celebrated blog, All's Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Yeah, Steve Jobs is with us. Don't get it twisted. That way you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the hosts, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotlines, and you'll be piped right into our exclusive Beverly Hills studio at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to speak. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, and who knows, one of the War Room professors may just call on you. What we got going on in the chat room, fellas?
Talking about a little boxing. About how
little
Bob
boxing.
Arum lies all the time.
Yeah, we're talking about Bob Arum and the rumor. We're talking about
if it didn't come from Bob Arum, it would have some validity. But anyway, let's move on, Dev.
What's
about
going on
time.
On Facebook?
Shout out,
yo,
shout
what?
Runaway Slave, aka Nat Turner, in the chat room.
Shout
yeah.
out to him.
When I said I posted, what do you think about Allen Iverson trying to make a comeback to the NBA next season, and Johnny Jones said three words, three syllables, it's a wrap.
Be awesome looking for Johnny Jones now. All right, let's get into some more hot topics real quick. But if anybody wants to call in and speak to us while we're on these topics, you can always do that. That number is 323-410-0012. Quick hockey story. All right, look. You know, the Canucks went up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals. Game 3, Boston straight bludgeoned the Canucks 8-1, and then they won again last night to tie the series at 2. But the big story in the series is Nathan Horton from the Bruins. He was hospitalized on Monday after being stretchered off the ice, strapped to a backboard with his neck immobilized following a hit from Aaron Rome in the first period of Game 3. Did any of you guys actually see this hit?
I did. It was whack, yo. What I mean by that is, he got hurt and everything, but Smita hit didn't even look illegal or anything. I mean, they're basically doing with hockey what they're doing with football. They're making it soft, yo. Pansy's going to be playing the game soon. But I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, since Horton is out for the rest of the series, with the guy who hit him, Aaron Rome, he's actually been suspended for the rest of the series. So what do you guys think of that kind of punishment? Kind of like an eye for an eye. You ended his series, so we're going to end your series. Be awesome. You like that?
I don't know. There's a part of me that's saying yeah and a part of me that's saying no. So I go with yeah. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it all depends on how you actually view the hit. If you think it was something malicious, you know, something intentional, then...
I didn't see the hit, so I can't speak intelligently.
Yeah, what is your opinion of the hit? I know you saw the hit. What's your opinion of it?
I don't know, because it's one of those hits, like, okay, you watch it. You have to watch it several times to even make a judgment on it. So I think if it's something that you have to watch that much to make a judgment, then how can you really, in your right mind... you know, just definitively judge it as an intentional, dirty hit. And, I mean, and they admitted that themselves. You know, they had to watch it over and over and over again. If something is that dirty, that malicious, that intentional, you're going to know it as soon as you see it. Even if you have to watch one replay just so you can get it right, you're going to know. Like, how many times do you have to watch something to say, you know, he stole that dude on purpose? So I don't know about suspending him for the whole series, but it's a bigger loss for the Bruins anyway, so I don't really think the Canucks care that much that Aaron Rome, who's like their fifth defenseman, got suspended for the rest of the series, so whatever, but let's move on. Let's get into some NCAA football talk. USC, we spoke a lot on the show about Reggie Bush and his quote-unquote improprieties when he was playing for USC. USC has now been stripped of their 2004 title. Bayon, what do you think about that?
Yo, it's crazy, man, because everybody saw this coming, but finally it's here. So it's kind of like it's what we all have been waiting for. But at the end of the day, I think that, you know, USC and Ohio State have been getting all the attention, and now Tennessee. And then you're going to have West Virginia. It's like it's obvious that all these schools are cheating in some kind of way. Now, USC's thing had really nothing to do with the university, just a player who was taking money and benefits. But personally, I don't have a problem with them getting stripped of the 2004 title, but I don't think the current kids there should have to take the sanctions because of Reggie Bush. So I think that's the part I don't agree with.
Yeah, that's actually that's a good point. As far as the title being vacated, Tuberville came out and said he thinks Auburn should get the title. They didn't even get into the title game that year when a lot of people thought that they should have. Bob Stoops from Oklahoma actually came out and said, you know, we don't want the title, blah, blah, blah. But everybody's saying this after the NCAA already said that they're just going to vacate the title. They're not giving it to anybody. So I really don't even know why these people are commenting on who they think should get it and who doesn't want it. And it's I don't know. B. Austin, what do you think about that?
Leave it vacant. Leave it vacant. Put the asterisk. Let people know what happened and call it a day. Because it's not fair to Reggie Bush's, you know, 60-some other odd teammates that they got to suffer. But it would almost be a slap in the face to give it to some other kids who didn't play for it.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, Jimmy, you got anything on this USC before we take a couple of calls?
All I want to say is the NCAA is ran by the Trilateral Commission. That's all I got to say. But let me take this call real quick. You got Brother Al Tariq waiting on the line. He wants to speak his piece. So,
Al Tariq,
what's going on,
Jersey,
brother?
Good afternoon, fellas. How's everything in the war room?
Pretty good.
How
you doing?
What's up, Tariq? What's up, fellas? I'm at an award ceremony for Malcolm X Shabazz, the number two ranked girls basketball team in the country. Had to do a little quick shout out.
That's what's up.
You know, I have to call it because of Allen Iverson, man. I saw the topic on your page, and I'm disappointed as a fan. of Georgetown as a fan of Allen Iverson, that one of the best small point guards that ever played the game had to end his career in Turkey. So
yeah.
We got to do something in New Jersey. You know, we can get rid of Farmar. We can get rid of whoever. We'll bring in Allen Iverson, and I'll give him part of my salary. So he can't end his career in Turkey. We got to do something for him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't
and
know
brother Altarik is getting
Iverson.
That money.
Hey, Altarik, yo, this is Dev. Yo, I totally agree with you, man. And that's not even just because, you know, I'm a Philly fan and all that. I just sometimes it's sick. I sit back and I wonder, like it's crazy how much people have forgotten what this guy used to do in the league at 5'11", 160 pounds, dominating a big man's game. And he can't get on anybody's bench right now. Like, my man got to end his career in Turkey. I just can't fathom it, man. It's crazy. It's just crazy to me.
As long as you got, like, Chucky Atkins could still be in the league, there's a spot for Iverson.
Exactly.
You don't have to necessarily be a good guy.
Chucky Atkins has had a job for a long time and has never been that good.
Anthony Carter is still playing in the league.
But listen, fellas, like Kevin Ollie.
I mean,
Kevin Ollie wasn't forced out of the league. Kevin Ollie just left because he knew he had, some coaching ties at UConn. So they didn't even force Kevin Ollie out of the league, and they forced A out of the league. I'm pissed, man. I'm mad.
Hey, I think you guys in the war room got to put up a protest. Go ahead.
Real quick. So you're saying that you'd rather have AI than Sasha Vujacic in your backcourt in New Jersey?
Is there an argument for that? Like, who would you rather have? Who would you pass the ball out to? A Sasha Vujacic for a three or Allen Iverson for an A1?
Oh, yeah, nah. I mean, AI all day.
I'd rather have Othniel Alphonse than Sasha Vujacic.
Yo, here's the thing, though. Like, I definitely think AI should get another chance, but one thing I don't want to see him come back and, like, you know, just not have anything left, because that would hurt my heart.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a Wizards Jordan, though, you know? I think he can get off the bench for, like, at least 7 to 10 minutes and put at least 15 points a game for his high, you know? But
yo,
he
put it like this.
More than what
yo, yo, you got him scoring 15 points in 7 minutes. Yo, that's hot.
Yo, put it like this. There's no way you can tell me that Mike Bibby is better than AI. Mike Bibby ain't got nothing left, and he's in the champion. He's in the chip right now.
Yeah. He had an opening spot, so they decided to put a light-skinned jump shooter on the squad.
I will be loving and light-skinned always.
All right. Hold up. Thanks for your call, man.
All right,
man.
No problem. Good luck, brother.
Call,
and you well at your show.
All right, take care.
All right, thanks.
Real quick.
I was going to say, with the New Jersey Nets roster, they got Jordan, outside of Deron Williams, they got Jordan Farmar, Sundiata Gaines, Stephen Graham, Ben Uzo, and those are their guards, 6'3 and under.
Pretty sad.
Real quick, though, before we move on, we got Nick calling from Pennsylvania. He's in hold for a while. Let's get to Nick real quick.
Okay.
Hey, Nick from PA, you're in the war room. What's going on?
Hey, how are you guys?
All right, how you doing?
Good.
What's up, Nick?
I'd like to make an NBA Finals comment.
Okay.
I was thinking about this, and tell me if you guys like or agree with this, or if this makes any sense to you. Even though the Heat have two of the final three games at their place, I think the Mavs are actually in a better position, because say the Mavericks win tonight, then they put the Heat in a must-win situation for Game 6, and then they have to go and win again in Dallas. And if the Heat win tonight, then Dallas comes home. They go back to Miami in Game 7. And they put them in a must-win situation in Game 6. And if Dallas wins, they'll be up 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
And then momentum coming home in Game 6. Does that make sense to you guys, or do you think I'm thinking crazy?
Well, I think whoever wins Game 5 automatically has the momentum, because Game 5 is like a crucial game, because whoever wins that game, the other team's back is against the wall. So this tonight's game is a big game. I think that whoever wins this game has the momentum. If Miami wins the game, then they go back home, and Dallas has their back against the wall, so to speak. And if Dallas wins, that means even though Miami is going home, they still have pressure on them, and, you know, we shall see what happens. Anybody else want to say anything?
Yeah, this is Devin, Nick. Because remember, in the NBA Finals, you have the 2-3-2 format. So I think tonight's game is a little more crucial for the Mavericks, even though they've proven early in the series that they can win on Miami's home floor. I still think this game is way more crucial for the Mavericks than it is for the Heat. Even if the Heat lost tonight and they went back home for two games down 3-2, I would still like their chances of winning those two games and winning the series. If Dallas loses tonight and has to go back and win two games on the Heat's home court, I would probably pretty much consider this series a wrap. So Dallas has to get that win tonight.
If I'm wrong, but I thought the first beginning series was 2-3-2 and the finals was 2-2-1. Is that 2-2-1-1-1? Is that not true?
No, it's the other way
no,
around.
No, it's reversed.
The first three series are 2-2-1-1-1, the finals. And I don't even know if I like that. I don't like the finals being 2-3-2. I've never liked that. I don't even
hey,
know
real,
I like
it.
Changing it.
Hey, real quick, y'all know why that started? Nick, to help you out a little bit. Well, that started because Red Auerbach was talking to the commissioner and back in the day, and the Celtics and the Lakers were always playing in the finals, so he convinced the commissioner to be like, yo, man, like, let's just make it so, you know, those three games, like the ones in the middle, just keep them in L.A. or Boston, and then the other two, so it cuts down on the travel, I guess the travel time going to back and forth for game 5, 6, and 7. So that's where that came from.
I did not know that. You learn something new every day. All right, guys, thanks for putting me on.
All right, thanks
for
taking the call. Thanks for calling in, rather. Yeah,
thanks for calling, man.
Yeah.
Always remember to call the war room.
All right, man. What's going on? Get back in some of these topics. All right, Terrell Pryor, he's back, and he's been in the news all week. He's actually foregoing his senior season at Ohio State amidst the allegation, and the investigation. On top of that, he has an ex-friend, quote-unquote, coming out saying that he knows for a fact, and he's seen with his own eyes, Terrell Pryor taking up to $40,000 from a booster in Ohio to sign gear and memorabilia and things like that. First of all, what do you guys think of him just leaving? Like, the pressure's on, so he's he had to miss 5 games anyway. So what do you think is in his future? Because they thought that, he might – into the supplemental draft, and then today we have some news that the CFL is trying to get into the mix, but he really doesn't want to do that. Is this guy an NFL quarterback?
No.
Well, here's the thing. The NFL scouts don't even want him to play quarterback. They're talking about wide receiver or tight end. The CFL is offering to let him play the quarterback position. And I think right now where he sits, that might be his best position to kind of like rehabilitate his reputation and work on his game if, in fact, he wants to play quarterback at the next level. Go to CFL. For one, we don't even have an NFL right now, so
I know, right?
You got to think about that as well in terms of him making his move. But I don't think that he was that great of a prospect to begin with for all this attention. It's just the fact that it seems like, well, even if it's not the case, he's going to be the guy that they pinpoint as bringing down the Ohio State University, so to speak, because Trestle's gone now. The other players got the suspension, so they're going to blame this on him. He's going to be the fall guy.
Yeah, I've already heard players, some of his teammates,
turn it back.
Remember the one guy said, yeah, I haven't spoken to him and I don't plan to speak to him. I mean, they label him even, well, it's coming out now because he actually did something wrong. Some of his teammates label him as a real selfish, me guy. So they said everything.
Although those cats want to remain anonymous, though. They want to remain anonymous at the same time they diss him, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm not too mad at that. The college dude, they shouldn't be saying anything in the first place. Just let it roll.
Yeah, you can.
But, yeah, so, I mean, I feel what you're saying, but at the same time, I don't expect them not to remain anonymous. And then you got the ex-friend who wants his identity to remain anonymous as well, and he's spilling all the beans. I don't know what his motives are, but he sounds like he's scorned and he has an axe to grind. So now he's, telling the business whether it's true or not. I mean, most likely it's true because we all have a spot, kind of a soft spot for these dudes where we realize they're not getting anything when they're there. So if you can get some extra money on the side, hey, do what you got to do. Just don't get caught.
Yo, I want to say, first of all, whoever was snitching and called themselves an ex-friend, they was never a friend to begin with. Yeah. Let's get that clear. Number two, I have not seen enough in Terrell Pryor's development that would indicate that he's even at Vince Young's level. And Vince Young is a decent football player, but probably not a good quarterback. There's nothing to indicate that the speed of the game, with the speed of the game in the NFL, that Terrell Pryor would be able to really thrive and pick it up. And I'm not calling that young man dumb, but I just don't know. I just don't know. I haven't seen their playbook was pretty limited under Trushel. They ran the ball. Take an intermediate route, hit it, and then, you know, play action and let's go deep. And other than that, Terrell Pryor, let's, you know, drop back, make one read and run. I mean, that's not what the NFL is about. It's not about drop back, make one read if you don't see anything run. So where does that translate into him being an NFL quarterback is my question.
That's a good question. Back to your point about the friend, though, like, I mean, how do we know that this wasn't his real friend? We don't know what Terrell Pryor did to that dude. You know, he might have delineated.
You still keep it in the family.
He might have restarted his girl or something.
Yeah, he might
go
have
see that man.
His mom, restarted his girl. It's, you know, can't get to him. He in his fast car. He in a new car. He don't know where to find him.
Look at that 350.
But, yeah, I mean, I agree with Brad as far as his NFL future is concerned. I don't think he's ready quite at the moment, and he's kind of being thrust onto the situation because he decided to forego his senior year and forego the investigation and try to make his name eligible for the supplemental draft. I do think that going to Canada is his best bet right now, even if it's just for 1 year. You were going to play that year in college anyway, so instead of going back there and possibly being suspended for the year – or even just happen to be suspended for those 5 games, go to Canada and get your game right for a year. Sign a 1 year deal. You don't have to, you know, strap yourself down in the CFL. So that's where I think he should be.
Yo, Jeff, I completely agree. Somebody ruffling paper in the background, but I completely agree with your statement about him playing in the CFL, because nobody is going to bring him in, probably not even as a number 5 practice squad quarterback. They're going to be like, yo, dude, you're an athlete. When you put you out on the field, forget you trying to be a quarterback. Let's just take it from there. So he should probably get his warm moon on, or I say 2, maybe even 3 years, to prove to people, okay, I improved as a quarterback and I'm ready to play in the NFL. So
that's definitely an option that he needs to look into.
And if he really wants to pick up the American NFL game, he needs to try and look at that UFL as opposed to the CFL, because the game is so much different. Now, it is pass-heavy. You give them that. It's pass-heavy
in the
CFL.
Yo, they're in the mix as well. They're talking about that as well.
Okay. I mean, from all accounts, from all reports that I've seen, their initial stance is they're not interested. But I think cooler heads will probably prevail. And he might know that, okay, my best option for being what I want to be in the NFL is to take one of these deals and further develop. Because, I mean, we already know in most college programs, especially ones like Ohio State, where they're in the mix to win titles every year, we know that these coaches aren't actually teaching these guys. These coaches just want to win games. They just want to win championships. And, I mean, that's what they're there for. But, you know, at the same time, they're not developing quarterbacks. And I'm going to be frank, especially these black quarterbacks, they're not developing them for the NFL game, because they have themselves an athlete, and in college that works, because if you have an athlete at quarterback, he's most likely more of an athlete than everybody he's playing against. But it's not going to help the man in his future, because everybody in the NFL is an athlete. So good luck to Terrell Pryor.
Great point. Dev, that's kind of like one of my flagship points about black quarterbacks and what happens to them on the collegiate scene. And Terrell Pryor is an example. Vince Young is an example. Every major black quarterback in the league that we can think of over the last 10 years is an example of what you just said. They're not developed.
So, unless he gets lucky and gets league and gets himself
a victim. We're a victim of our own athleticism.
Yeah. Sad but true. But real quick, I just want to mention, basically give a shout-out. You know, the Major League Baseball draft doesn't have the fanfare of other drafts because, frankly, they put the draft on nights when the league still has games. And that's fine because myself, I'm not a big fan of drafts, especially like the NFL draft. That's like an event to everybody. But I can't sit in the house all weekend and just watch names scroll across the screen. Like, text me when my team is up. Like, it's not that serious to me. And we do a sports show, so that's crazy. But the first pick in the draft, of course, went to the Pirates because they stink. And they got a right-hand pitcher, Garrett Cole, out of UCLA, 6'4", 220 pounds. Supposed to be a hell of a prospect. The Pirates, though, didn't get as lucky as the Washington Nationals got the last 2 years. Because basically with their last two number one picks, they just got straight up phenoms. First year they got Strasburg, who pitches and throws has the gun up around 100 miles an hour. I mean, that's why he's already out having surgery. And last year they got Bryce Harper, who's playing in Hagerstown right now, and he's absolutely crushing the league. We talked about him a few weeks ago. Remember, y'all, when I talked about how when he got glasses, he just started mollywopping every pitcher that he faced?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And all this time, they didn't know this cat was blind. But shout out to their draft for not smelling themselves too much and making such a big spectacle of it. Boxing news. Told you we would get back to this. First of all, Floyd is getting back in the ring. He tweeted to his followers the other day. He said, quote, "I'm ready to return to the ring and give my fans a fantastic night of boxing by fighting the best out there." Me, that's Victor Ortiz. Victor Ortiz is a beast. I'm not even going, you know, I'm not going to say anything about that. But the best out there, that was nothing but a shot at Pacquiao. I think the fight's going to happen. I just think it's just going to be a lot of buildup. I mean, I see it happening maybe like next year. He's not gonna keep running from that money. First of all, because he's
Jimmy, let me let you slip in your little DVDs and your mixtapes.
all I want to say is this real quick. Victor Ortiz is a southpaw with strength, has a hell of a record, and is a hell of a fighter. He's in his prime right now. Victor Ortiz has more talent than anybody that Manny Pacquiao has ever fought. Manny Pacquiao fought cats past their prime. And as a matter of fact, Austin, before I finish, let me ask you a question. How many African-American fighters has Manny Pacquiao ever fought?
I really don't know. A man is a man.
I really don't care. He's trying to fight.
I don't care.
I understand what you're saying. Before we get into that, he fought one, which is Shane. But my point is, don't believe anything that Bob Arum said.
But he's been trying to fight the greatest African-American fighter.
He comes out and says that he's trying to, but he doesn't want to take this doping test because he doesn't know how soon it'll happen. First off, Victor Ortiz took the test with no problem. What happens is Bob Arum plays
Victor
games.
Ortiz can afford to be sunned, just like the other bull can afford to be sunned. Manny Pacquiao sees himself as Floyd's equal. He's not coming down to Floyd's level, bow to me, do what I say to get this fight and get this money. Manny Pacquiao can buy and sell Floyd, man. Get out of here.
Hey, Jimmy, you really see that?
If
you're
not scared, rumble the book.
Jimmy, if you're not scared, take the drug test. Go
great,
ahead.
Jimmy, because that's a matter of who you believe, though. Because actually, I read a report today that said he agreed to take a drug test 14 days before the fight and directly after the fight in the dressing room. Come on, if you're taking a joint right after the fight, like, what better time is there
now,
to know
I heard,
if somebody
I heard,
was on
I heard
drugs?
Something to the contrary. I heard something to the contrary.
And that's what I said. But listen, did you hear how I prefaced it before I said it?
Yes, I did. But before
you
we even get into all that, let me
don't believe anything, but, you know, you have a history of not
No.
Pacquiao. Yeah.
No, that's not my point. My point is this, though. I don't believe anything that Bob Arum says. Most of the stuff that comes out of Manny's
he
pants
didn't say
is
that,
said
though.
By Bob
what
Arum.
Bob Arum said,
said that. I said most of the things that come out of his camp. I wasn't talking about that statement specifically. I said when things come out of his camp, a lot of it comes from Bob Arum, who I don't believe a word that comes out of his mouth.
Okay, well, here's something that Bob Arum said, and y'all tell me if y'all believe this. And I let me start off before y'all go. Bob Arum said Floyd turned down $65 million for this fight. Now, that's a steep number. And for a dude calling himself Money Mayweather, I don't know if I believe that. I don't think that the purse got up to $65 million. He probably would have jumped in the ring that night and rumbled the dude. But
no training.
Huh. I don't know if I believe that at all. But at the same time, this other report that I read, I mean, I don't have a reason not to believe this person right now, but I don't know. I just don't know why it's not happening. You know, everybody's fighting everybody else. And at some point, we have to acknowledge what's going on. Whether you like Manny Pacquiao or not, I don't really think it's him that's doing the ducking. I really don't. And that's coming from
somebody
who doesn't
care. What
is
that based on?
I just want to see the fight. I don't even have a
reason. Your opinion that it's not him doing the ducking, what is that based on?
It's just based on all accounts. Like, it seems like all accounts say that it's Floyd unless Pacquiao just has the better PR crew. But it seems like by all accounts, he's the one that's doing the ducking. Like, tell me why if you keep making extra stipulations about a drug test, like, come on, man. I mean,
if
Manny Pacquiao
is
on steroids, Jimmy, does that make him
fed by his crew?
Does that make him Ivan Drago? Like, why are you scared? Even if he's on steroids, he's still a little dude. It's not like he has to fight Drago or somebody. Like, I don't understand what the big deal is.
First off, I don't think he's scared at all. He's fighting a fighter right now. This fighter, Victor Ortiz, is more dangerous than Manny Pacquiao.
Okay,
he's more
so you
than
say, Jimmy. So you say, then if he's then why don't he fight him then? So you
because
say,
Pacquiao doesn't
then,
want to fight. People believe. Like my thing is, you're saying
why,
it's based
tell
upon
me why
all accounts. All
fight.
Accounts. What
tell me why he doesn't want to fight. Tell me why he doesn't want to fight. Because you sound. Because I'm speaking off opinion that I formed from what I've heard. You're making definitive statements. Pacquiao doesn't want to fight. How do you know
I'm giving you my opinion based off of things that I heard from boxing analysts who do nothing but follow boxing. All the stuff that comes out in the mass media.
I don't
media,
think Pacquiao wants to fight. You said he doesn't want to fight.
This is
now,
what I hear from
person,
people who are inside. I'll give you names. I was listening to Max Kellerman. Max Kellerman said it. He's in the know. He said that Pacquiao has more BS than that's put out there, but he has the machine behind him because he's represented by Bob Arum. I mean, these are people that I'm listening to people who would do nothing but they're boxing analysts. This is my opinion, but it's based upon things that I hear from people who do nothing but follow boxing.
And what was the reason? You just said he has BS that he puts out there. That's not a that's
because he said more of it. He honestly, this is what he said. I'm gonna tell you exactly what he said. He said more of it's not even Manny. He said most of it is Bob Arum because Bob Arum can make just as much money if Manny doesn't fight him than he does when he fights him because Bob Arum hasn't given up a 50-50 split in years, and he doesn't want to give up that money to Floyd. He can do a couple fights where he will make just as much money with guaranteeing victories by Manny than putting him in the ring with Floyd. The same Bob Arum, who Victor Ortiz was the next coming to the greatest thing in the world, but Victor Ortiz left him and signed with Golden Boy, so now he's out there saying that Victor Ortiz isn't a great fighter because he left under Arum's management.
Bob Arum doesn't want to pay a 50-50 split, they're going to hold this fight from the public, who is the only fight everybody wants to see.
Yeah, but
I mean,
Bob
I think
Arum,
if both
the
fighters
is, want to
make
here's
it
the
happen,
thing.
Then your promoter still
here's
works
the thing,
for you.
I'm disappointed.
They do work for you,
Jimmy,
but Bob Arum is one of the most powerful people in boxing, and the thing about if he can make
no,
just as much
is,
money. No, I'm just saying
like,
that he can make just as much money. Why even do that? He can keep building a fight up time after time. People are still going to want this fight. So in the meantime, if you can make just as much money having him fight Shane and fight the guy he's fighting now, why not do that? That's what I'm saying. Like a lot of it from what I read and what I hear is orchestrated by Arum.
Well, first of all,
Arum
I don't think any of those fights is going to make just as much money as a Pacquiao-Manny fight. People have been chomping at the bit for this fight for years. None of those fights are going
to
make
difference. The difference is he has to give a huge split. The guy he's fighting now is making like $2 to $3 million, and Manny is getting like 30 plus the gate. So it's
okay,
like
and
he's
going to give a huge split to a fighter who draws, you know, the ability.
Yeah, he
to
is, but he has to split everything with him. That's the problem. He has to split the back end money. He has to split the upfront money. So with this,
and
he gets to keep all back end money.
That money. And I still see that money being more than he would make fighting any of these other guys out here.
That's a flawed argument because Pacquiao's draw is so strong it could only be compared to Oscar because he has a whole nother demographic that's going to tune in that usually doesn't tune in. And I think the bottom line, we're making this more complicated.
What does that even mean, though? His demographic is going to tune in no matter who he fights.
No, but it's a combination of the folks that want to see Floyd and Pacquiao. It's a combination of the people that support Floyd. And then it's a combination of an entire area of the world that's going to support Manny Pacquiao just because this is the biggest fight of his career. Come on, let's not blind ourselves to the truth.
Yes,
I mean, that's a reality. I think simply put, good brother, Floyd Money Mayweather is ducking that wreck. He's ducking the rumble. It is what it is. I mean, it's okay to be afraid.
The cowardice comes out at times in school. I'm asking you based on what?
I heard, based on all the stipulations.
Somebody agreed to a drug test and you changed the stipulations of the drug test. That's what I'm basing it on.
He's agreed to the drug test more than one time. And I heard the same thing that Dev heard. I heard that he agreed to it 14 days prior and he agreed to it right after the fight. I heard that more than a year ago.
That's the
Come
best
on,
test
dude.
To take. Right, directly after the fight. That's the yeah. It doesn't
and,
get
and
any.
And Dev made a point which I totally agree with, which is that this guy must have the best.
I don't know.
Huh?
Go ahead. My bad. No, I'm saying I didn't write the story, so I don't know if it's true or not.
Oh no. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, you didn't write the story. But I give you a name. I was listening to Matt Kellerman, and who made the statement that a lot of that is BS that has been put out there by Bob Arum. So Bob Arum tells the reporter, "I want you to report this story." He's going to report it because it gives him access to Manny. So at the end of the day,
but even though you're dropping a name, Jimmy, that wasn't an explanation. If I was in Max Kellerman's presence,
I was saying, okay, Max, I respect you, but you got to give me a little more than that.
We don't accept that when we argue with these lemons every day. Why are we accepting from him?
What I'm saying is, this is a guy who's a boxing analyst and does nothing but follow boxing. I can give you another guy's name. I can look it up now. The guy from Yahoo Boxing. So what I'm saying is, as many people out there saying that he's ducking it.
Stephen A. Smith,
you're telling me you get information. I'm telling you,
he
I get
running around
information.
Talking about Rashard Lewis sleeping with people's girlfriends. Like, okay, if Steve told me that, I'm not just going to ride with that because he's a basketball analyst. Like, how do you know?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I'm riding with his opinion. What I'm saying is, this is what I'm basing my opinion on. The same way you base your opinion on things that you see in here is what I'm basing my opinion on.
Truthfully, Jim, I don't think I sound half as adamant as you are about this. I mean, you just made it seem like
this. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not even a huge Floyd fan, believe it or not. I just find it amazing how all of a sudden this guy comes out of nowhere and people, like, you know, act as though he's this tough, big and bad. I've seen him get his boots stretched several times. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people who just run with this he's scared thing and have nothing to back it up with. That's why I asked you. Okay, now you're telling me how you're basing yours based upon stuff you read and heard. And all I'm saying is my opinion is also based upon stuff that I've read and heard. So, at the end of the day.
Because, you know, I've always said, I don't know why Floyd doesn't want to take the fight because I actually think Floyd would beat him. That's my opinion.
I honestly think at this point, Victor Ortiz is a more dangerous fight, and I'm being honest when I say that. Victor Ortiz is a more dangerous fight than Jimmy, but
anybody, any boxing fan right now will tell you FOH, not because what you're saying may not be true. It's because everybody wants to see this fight. That's why I'm saying that.
Anybody who's a pure boxing fan, there's no fight out there right now
that's going to make the kind of
You're saying that boxing fans would condone Floyd ducking Manny Pacquiao to fight Victor Ortiz because he's a better opponent. And that's the same thing that the legends and legacies of these legends are built on. And the reason we love Oscar De La Hoya is because he wouldn't duck anyone. Just like Bruce Lee wouldn't duck anyone. You don't duck.
Listen to what I'm saying, though. What I'm saying is
anybody
who's a pure boxing fan would admit that he's a more dangerous fighter. He's a bigger fighter, for one. He's bigger than Manny. He's stronger than Manny. And he's in his prime right now.
That's fine. Right, so then rumble Manny, because he's
boxing,
easy.
Boxing purists, boxing casual fans alike, people want to see this fight, man.
They do want to see the Manny fight.
Ortiz
what I'm saying is they won't tell you.
Ortiz ain't going nowhere.
What I'm saying is they do want to see the fight. But the thing is, this fight to me, like I said, is more dangerous for him. His fight he has upcoming is more dangerous than the fight that Manny has upcoming. It's a dangerous fight, is what I'm saying. Because
that up. I don't
if Ortiz beat him, that's what I'm saying, though. If Ortiz beat him, that kind of ruins the whole thing of him and Manny, so to speak. And the same with Manny if he loses. But all
Hence
I'm saying
fact.
Is this whole thing about him ducking, I think, is a... What'd you say?
I said, hence the fact that he should just go get that big money and fight dude, just in case Ortiz do lay a licking on
him. Yeah, but see, the thing about it is, you act as though he's the one that's not accepting all the terms or what have you. All I'm saying is, I hear stories the opposite of what you guys hear, and I base my opinion on that as well. And when I read everything and then looking at the history of Bob Arum, this is what leads me to the other side. I'm not a Pac-Man nor a Floyd fan. I can care less. Do I want to see the fight? Yeah. I'm not a fan of either one of theirs.
But when do we hear different stories, though? Like, we've been talking about for months the fact that what we heard is Pacquiao has been saying no to the stipulations of the drug test. Yeah, we both heard that. And I don't think that he's not. I just think if you say yes, I'm going to do this, and then you keep adding stuff on top of it, there is a point where you got to draw the line. I'm not like some hungry boxer just trying to get up and get my shot at the big bag Floyd. I'm a dude who's just as big as you in the sport, or maybe even bigger right now. So why do I got to sit around while you keep sunning me with rules to make this fight? You would feel the same way if you were on the top of your profession and somebody want to come to you.
Damn.
That's a matter of opinion.
Like, you're not recognized as a pound-for-pound champ.
Because here's the thing. At the end of the day, if here's what happens. This is why I think Floyd took the fight with Ortiz. If Floyd beats Ortiz and does it in a great fashion where he dominates the fight, then he holds all the cards at that point. What do you say?
Yeah, it makes this fight even better.
It's giving him more bargaining power in terms of the fight with Pacquiao, which is why I think he took Ortiz. Instead of taking one of those beat-up fighters, he took a fighter who's a great fighter, one of the top five pound-for-pound in the sport. He took on him because if he wins this fight, it gives him more bargaining power. All I'm saying with this whole story, Dev, is I base mine based upon stuff that I've read, I've heard, and the fact that he's represented by Bob Arum. That's what I'm basing mine on. I'm not just saying this because I'm some sort of Floyd fan. I don't care for Floyd or Pac-Man. But at the end of the day...
I feel the same way. That's why I'm saying I'm looking at this from a fan perspective. I don't care about the money and who you fight to make your bargaining chip. The fans, which I'm one of, have been clamoring for this fight for years. Man, just do it. Both of y'all. Just stop doing whatever y'all doing to stop it from happening and rumble. Let's make a new video, man. We got the AI video.
I mean,
we got to get that back out there. Let's make a why don't y'all rumble video.
The thing is, why don't they? I mean, I do want to see him rumble, but at the end of the day, I just think that it's a lie. And I'm not talking about you, but the fact of the matter is there's so many lemmings who come, he's scared. And I say, why do you say he's scared? Because... They have no reason. They have no logic or no thought behind it. And I'm not putting you in that box.
I personally feel that I have plenty of reason behind why I feel as though Floyd is scared, and I've articulated some of those reasons, including
I said, go ahead, hurry up though. We gotta move on.
Including the test. I mean, we can move on. I mean, our conversation isn't going to change Floyd from being a BI. I mean, he's still going to be what he is.
There's no sense in going on. He's going to say Floyd's scared. I'm going to call Pac-Man a drug addict, and that's going to be it.
I got a bigger problem with a coward than I do a drug addict. I mean, you can be a drug addict. Just don't be a coward.
Last thing, though, I was talking to people today. Last thing. I don't believe
no drugs.
I'll preface it, right? right now, I don't believe the whole $65 million figure. But if that was true, for $65 million, I'll fight Drago, Barry Bonds, Jose Canseco, Brian Bosworth, and whoever else who's been on steroids all at the same time. But that's
yo,
just me.
Quick.
I ain't got money like Floyd.
Real quick.
And they can have their bats with them.
Real quick though, kids take no drugs. But yo, the imaginary players in our chat room said if Floyd ain't fighting Joel Ortiz and the rest of Florida House, they don't want to see it. They want to see him fight Joel Ortiz.
Yo,
Joel
Ortiz. 5, 6, 7, 8, hungry like I never ate. Anyway, let's move on.
Take it into more hot topics.
Yeah, anyway, let's jump into some more hot topics. Plaxico, he's out. Came out with the Phillies hat on and whatnot. What's your guys' thoughts on this? Will he, you know, of course he's going to get it run. Do you think he'll be productive at all?
You got it sprung? Hey, Jimmy, actually, like, people, when that happened on Monday, a lot of Philly fans was making a big deal out of it because he had on a Phillies hat. My whole thing is, his name is Plaxico. I mean, I ain't going to front, like, I didn't wear the Detroit Tigers hat back in the day because it had a D on it, so F-O-H. But look, I kind of think, I mean, the rumors were out there, too, so I guess they did have some reason to think that it meant something. Plus, his agent is Drew Rosenhaus, and he always sets
the
table.
Here you go. Set down.
On everything. So it's possible. Actually, while we were doing the show, I was looking on the monitor, and they were talking about front runners for the services of Plaxico. But since I had it on mute, I don't know what they actually said. Did anybody catch that?
No, I didn't. Who knows? I mean, at the end of the day, all people want to hear about is whether he'll suit up and play with Hicks. And my question to you guys is, how productive do you think he'll be regardless of where he lands? Or is that what's going to determine how productive he is?
Where he lands will definitely play into how productive he is. I think that in today's NFL, with the dumbing down of defense and the fact that this dude is 6'5", with a tremendous reach, decent hands, he's not a burner, but because of that size, I think that he's definitely still worth being a fourth, a third, maybe not, maybe, at best a third option, but at worst a fifth option just for the red zone. I think he's got the hands. He still will be able to catch a football. He's never been a great route runner, but he's 6'5 and 230, and he can just lean on a shorter DB. The average height of DB is still –
That's interesting you said that, but I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, you know, even straight out the clink, he could probably be like Chris Carter when Chris Carter was on cocaine.
Yo,
like
he could probably be Akil Bayon. He could probably
be
Akil Bayon. Just lean on him and catch it.
Just fade route.
Speaking of which, yo, I think I thought it was ironic that he came out with a Phillies cap. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah,
like
that's what I'm saying.
You know what his representation is. That was set up.
Yeah, it was set up by Drew.
Rosenhaus.
You know, because Drew probably bought him his coming home outfit. So he bought that. Hey, why don't you wear this, Plax? Your name's Plax. We got some Eagle rumors going on here. Andy Reid has actually said I haven't even been down that avenue yet. But he said the same thing about Mike Vick, and he was on the team like a week later. So
never Andy Reid is tricky lying.
Yeah, you can never really trust.
And, you know, I think in the right system, I think Plax could still put up 1,000. I mean, because at the end of the day, like Brad says, like he's still 6'5", 230, and I actually think his route running had improved tremendously his last couple of years. Like, I forget which year it was, but, I mean, he was
so
leaving cats in the
dust. His last couple of years, he's been sitting,
yeah,
he been sitting in the
his last couple of years.
Before
being in the joint. Man, I just got out the joint. Yeah.
chat, what the yo, anyway, next story.
I can't really go out on a limb like that and say, you know, I know how much he can help a team. Because remember, even before he went into the joint for shooting himself in the leg. So I really don't know how good a shoot is.
Yo, he should have bobbed himself, yo. Anyway,
Shout out to Cheddar Bob.
Real quick, I want to ask you guys a story about the question about this story here. The Pistons, they finally fired their coach. And what's up with the rumors that your man Isaiah going to get that job?
Yo, why does Isaiah get consideration for jobs, period? Like, what?
Yo.
Yo. He's never done anything right off of a basketball court. Why does this man still keep coming up?
But tell you, somebody told me the other day.
He ran the NBA into the ground. He ran the Knicks into
the
ground.
Yo, he ran it into the ground.
Yo, your man folded a league. Yo, he folded a league.
I'm going to tell you what it is, yo. I was talking about this other day. I think it was Monica. She told me she was like, she thinks that Isaiah Thomas knows how to do Jedi mind tricks. Because that's the only thing that can explain. Yo, because he goes from, like, job to job. I'm at, yo, the unemployment rate is high as hell, but Isaiah stay with a gig.
So he's
Jimmy,
trying to say he's like Dr. X off the X-Men, where he can, like, change people's minds.
Hey, Jimmy, so you're basically saying he sits in the interview and they're saying to him, well, Isaiah, Mike Brown had a better interview than you, so I think we're going to go with him. So Isaiah just waves his hand in front of their face like, no, you're going to go with Isaiah.
Exactly. My man, stay with a gig, yo. Who is him?
Yo,
he
stays with a job.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yo, he stays with a job. Like, it's got to be Jedi mind tricks. I'm fully bought into that because think about this. When he went to FIU, he went to Florida, right? Now, if any of us were the AD there, would y'all have hired dude, even though he has NBA experience, knowing what y'all know?
Yo,
would
he
y'all
just got
hired
finished groping a chick up in New York. He was just groping a chick up in New York.
Exactly. Exactly.
I wouldn't hire dude.
Yeah, that's crazy. But Kuster, he went in his 2 years with the Pistons. He went 57 and what was his record, Jimmy?
57-107.
Yeah, 57-107. Now his whole dynamic up there was kind of interesting because the players didn't really like him that much. But the players didn't like him because he wasn't like the Mike Brown type dude who was catering to everybody. And you know why? Kuster came from the Larry Brown coaching tree. So I mean, even so did Mike Brown if you count Brown Popovich than Mike Brown, but Kuster went up there, and he wasn't really catering to anybody. Remember, he benched Rip for a long time?
Yeah.
Remember, they had a boycott in practice where, like, five dudes didn't show up to practice.
Yeah, they didn't show up for practice. So you can see when you're Larry Brown and you've had all the wins and you had the experience, you can get away with that. But when you're Kuster and this is, like, your first coaching job, I'm not even saying that he should have toned down what he believes in. But it's just not going to fly.
His name is Kuster. Giz is a Kuster.
Here's the thing, though. Like you said, Larry Brown can get away with it, but in this day and age, the NBA is changing. Larry Brown, he wasn't even getting away with that.
He ran out of New York.
He's not getting away with it. So if he can't get away with it, you damn sure can't get away with it. It's okay to be that tough on your players if you're winning, but if you're losing, guess what? It's easier to get rid of you than 13 of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Fun to hold to him.
Something had to
be done. Donnie Walsh and the Knicks also parted ways. And guess what? Isaiah's been rumored for that job.
Yo.
Yo, he might hold them both at this. Yo, Isaiah's so gangster, he's going to have both jobs at the same time.
I got a game in Detroit tonight. I'll be back. the imaginary players in the chat room said Isaiah's the Samuel L. Jackson of the NBA and the Knicks gig was his snakes on a plane. I'm not all these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
Why was he always yelling? What was he so angry?
Why did he make that movie?
Because he make any movie. We could call
why
him
did
right
he make
now.
Black, why did he make black? Why did he make Black Snake moan?
Yo, Samuel Jackson IMDb is diesel. That's on like 8 pages.
Yeah, Jimmy, if you ask him right now, like I want you to be in one of these War Room Sport videos that I edit up every week, and we're shooting it with my Android phone. He's in. That's all we got to give him is $10. I mean,
what we have is way better than what he's been involved in overall. I'm not talking about the standout.
how did they pitch that to him? Yo, we want you to play in this movie called Snakes on a Plane about snakes on a plane.
That was one of his bigger budget movies in recent years. Like they were marketing the hell out of that movie before it came out.
Yo, but real quick, what y'all got on Donnie Walsh and Knicks parting ways, yo?
I don't know. I got a question for that. Like, do y'all think that the Knicks are in trouble? Like,
Yeah.
Donnie Walsh came in, did some nice work this year. Look where they are now.
Nice,
3 years.
He did some nice work. He does come with a little bit of media strife with him, but to be honest, Donnie Walsh has been successful everywhere he's been. I mean, he was successful out there in Indiana with the Pacers. And then he came to
Donnie
New York.
Walsh puts in work.
With the Pacers, they just got to a point where, okay, there's nothing left for me to – I can't do anything else here. Like, he kind of peaked with the Pacers.
Yeah.
So he moved on to the Knicks job.
Hey, Doc Bay, you got any thoughts on Donnie Walsh, yo?
Yo, I think he did a great job of getting the Knicks back to respectability. But
the Knicks are back.
Back to respectability. But like I said in one of my PTRs about the Knicks and Melo, that eventually, you know, Donnie Walsh will go, then D'Antoni will go, and then the players, their, I guess, max-style players that they have, you know, will, once one of them might go, even after they get, if they get a CP3 or a Deron Williams, or Deron Williams. But another thing with Donnie Walsh is with the Pacers, I mean, he's reminded me of Bill Parcells, where kind of like, you know, once Parcells feels like he's done all he can do, that's it. But also, I think he promised the owner of the Knicks that he could get him LeBron James, and, you know, after that didn't work out, I guess he's like, well, I didn't get you LeBron. I got you these two dudes, so, hey, let me move on now.
Yeah, in our chat room, Esteban, I ain't going to try to even pronounce the last one. Anyway,
Uno Safe.
Okay, Esteban Uno Safe. Shout out to you, homie. He says, fire Dan Phoney. So that's his new name now. His name is Mike Dan Phoney.
Chill, like that.
So, Jimmy, tell us some good news on the coaching front, man. Tell us some good news.
Yo, yeah. Mark Jackson got hired by the Golden State Warriors, yo. And I like this move. Jerry West is out there now. And I like GMs who think outside the box. Mark Jackson has never been an assistant, never been a head coach. I think Only time Mark Jackson has ever coached is in the Sunny Hill League, but yet he was hired to be the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. What you guys opinion on this?
That's one.
Yo,
thing
let me say something.
I
wonder in practice, you know, if a guy is playing defense and he has his hand down and a three-pointer gets shot in his face, I'm going to say, hey, look, kid, remember what I said, hand down, man down. Play some defense, son.
Hey, but listen, yo, this is like kind of bittersweet for me because.
Yo, I understand exactly where you're going with this.
Yeah, I'm happy for the brother, but he and Van Gundy make watching these games like much more interesting and much more fun. Because, you know, you guys know how I think about the level of NBA play right now. So I don't always think these games are great. But listening to those guys go back and forth, and clown each other, and him with the hand down, man down,
great,
mama, they go that man, you want to dance, let's dance, like all the stuff. He cracks me up because he kind of brings the street, you know, to the broadcast. But there's one thing about this that I don't understand, though, because every job that he was passed by for, you heard fans on the street talking about, oh, Mark getting jobs, he should have got that job, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, like, why? He's never coached before in his life. Like, so when he was getting bypassed for these jobs, I didn't necessarily think that he was getting gypped or anything. Like, he never coached
before.
Why does he really deserve it? I'm glad he got one. But why does he deserve a job over the next man? He really hasn't even put in, you know, his work yet. But I'm still happy.
I think it's interesting that he's never coached. And the ESPN bottom line, they said that. They said he's never coached before, but he's been to the playoffs 14 out of 17 years he played. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything?
Real quick, I just want to say that I think it's interesting because, like you said, Jerry West is there now. And Jerry West had butted heads with Dr. Buss in L.A. So he's making moves now to try to start that rivalry up. One being when Mike Brown was hired, Mike Brown, top assistant in Cleveland, who a lot of people give the credit for actually coaching that team. They said that he was coming to L.A. and Jerry West, like, gripped him up.
sold him a bunch of dreams, and he took the Golden State job as an assistant as opposed to going to L.A. And the Lakers were kind of pissed about that. So Jerry West is trying to, like, you know, start that rivalry up. And they're saying that he's also trying to make some big moves. And some of these guys like D. Howard and D. Williams and all that, they're going to try to make some moves with them as well. And what they're selling them is, you know, why go somewhere where there's already, like, you know, championship pedigree established, so to speak. Let's start something new. And people are buying into it, including Mark Jackson. So it's interesting to see what he's going to do with this Golden State franchise.
It's funny that you say that, since every lemming in America thinks that Jerry West's whole M.O. is to make moves that will benefit the Lakers. But I didn't say that.
They're not even on good terms now. That's what most people say without doing their homework, damn idiot.
And they haven't been.
Austin, what you want to say?
No, I was just going to say Mark Jackson is a good example of just a cool cat. You know, he has no real enemies that we know of. He does everything right. The stuff he says is funny and not corny most of the time. And I just wish him the best, man. I wish him the best.
So he's like one of them cool old heads around the way, right?
Really?
Speaking of Mark, he might have
one
some
of them
new
cats,
players.
Yeah. One of them cats that come in the barbershop with slacks and a white tee on. Anyway, trade rumors. Iggy. They talking about Iggy for Monte, which is out here in Golden State. Dev, what you got on this?
I've been thinking about this trade all week. I don't know. I can see how this trade would actually benefit both teams, because Golden State has people on the perimeter who can't even spell the word defense. So Iguodala playing the shooting guard in that town would help out a lot. Then when you go to Philly, you think about if, and this is a big if Evan Turner can become the player that Iguodala was, where he's going to give you defense, rebounds, and, you know, he can run the offense when Drew Holiday's not running the offense.
Holiday.
If he can be everything Iguodala is, then the move wouldn't be too bad, because in that case, the Sixers, what they need is a score. But at the same time, you hear a lot of rumors about Monte, about his selfishness. And, you know, the dude never met a shot that he didn't like. So I'm kind of on the fence with it. Because,
yo,
you know,
this will put a lot of pressure on your boy Evan. Shout out to Roy from the Broad Street Nine, that's his homie. But this will put a lot of pressure on y'all homie if in fact it does happen. So let's see if he can live up to it. He wasn't picked number two for no reason.
Because a lot of the scrutiny in Philly is because they think Andre Iguodala and Evan Turner's the same player. And that's why they feel like they can't really play together that well. So that's
They're
what I'm saying.
Close.
If they do this, Evan Turner has to be He has to turn out to be everything that Andre Iguodala is. A lot of Philly fans don't think that's much, but I see the value that he brings to a team.
I'm gonna keep it all the way 110% real, because I'm not the biggest Andre Iguodala fan. In fact, I'm usually the guy that's snickering at all of the funny stuff that the fans say about dude, because he doesn't have that dog. And I look at Andre Iguodala as sort of a poor man's LeBron.
Don't go there.
I mean,
I need
he does.
To go there.
He does. No, but listen, this is objective. This ain't no clowning, no joke. He does a little bit of everything pretty well. He's a okay shooter, streaky, great rebounder from the position, great defender. Tremendous athlete, and that's the thing that Evan Turner's not going to be. Evan Turner's just not the athlete that that Iggy is, though that's not necessary. I mean, you don't need to be athletic to be
a
great,
Austin,
great player.
Not to cut you off, let me ask you a question, though. There's another rumor out there about Iggy for Chris Kaman. Would you rather have that move, or would you rather have the Monte move?
I'll take that's a good.
You know what, Tim? Even though the Sixers lack, you know, really, really solid big men, I personally don't think Spencer Hall is a bum. I just don't think Spencer Hall should be starting. But I think for the Sixers, I think Monte would be the better choice.
I would take Monte.
Is somebody that can score.
Yeah, I would take Monte, and I think that Iggy would fit a lot of holes on Golden State. And he's a
he might be in the same predicament he is in Philly, though. Who's he balling with out there? I guess Steph.
Steph and
the boys of three. Right.
Hey Jim, he would, but if he's out there, then he's not our problem. I can't worry about that.
Yeah, FOH to him at that point, right? Yo, the imaginary right. player said Iggy is a bum. They trade him for a carton of Newport to the VCR. All right, real quick though, let me get your opinion on one. Real quick, let me get your opinion on this this trade rumor. Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook.
I don't subscribe to this as quickly as all the other fans. We put this on our Facebook page the other day, and people were just acting like it was such a no-brainer. But you have to realize, first of all, you have to realize the whole age and years of service difference. Even though Russell Westbrook already made second team All-NBA, you still have this cat is still young enough for you to still be talking to him in terms of potential. So I don't everybody was like, "Oh, in a minute." But I think Russell Westbrook is just living right now off this bad reputation that he got in the playoffs.
And
he's only been in the playoffs. He's going to have his struggles.
Let me buttress your point because you make a lot of good ones. Russell Westbrook, and I know that Chris Paul gets three steals a game. He's a great gambler, and he does contribute defensively. You can put Russell Westbrook on a premier perimeter player and say, make it hard for him the whole night. Pause.
Yeah.
Versus Chris Paul, who you really can't say that to, because on the ball, Chris Paul is going to have problems with larger guards. Paul's a
great player. Dan Williams kills Chris Paul every year.
I think the injury is an issue with this as well, because you know
right.
Chris Paul's been injured, and Russell Westbrook has something that Chris Paul doesn't, and that
he got
oh. man.
Yo, man, you know he's one of those new age. He's one of those new age point guards, like like D Rose. These guys who are playing point guard but jump out of the building.
I explained this once before, and I'm gonna explain it again in under 10 seconds. There are men in the NBA that don't know how high they jump. They just jump.
Well, let me, Austin.
They
real
just
quick,
go
though,
where they need
quick,
to go.
Real quick, let me make my last point is this though. I went to see the X-Men movie. And they showed, like, the Planet of the Apes preview, which was crazy. But I felt like I was watching the 2011
Russell,
NBA All-Star game. It
you were
like
watching
LeBron
Russell. Russell's in that. LeBron's in it. D-Rose is in it.
There's no way you can tell me Russell Westbrook is not playing in the new Planet of the Apes. At any rate.
The Planet of All-Star Weekend.
Hey, you know what I'm
saying?
Hey, yo, I blame it on preschools and, like, kindergartens, because they have, you know, our young youth read Curious George. So then they all grow up wanting to be like Curious George. You know what I mean?
Eating that processed food. You know what I'm saying? And Blake Griffin. Come on, man. Blake Griffin jumping out the building, yo. I tell you that Planet of the Apes was like an NBA All-Star weekend. At any rate, Dev, let's talk about the finals.
Okay. Hey, real quick, Jim, before you go to that, I just want to give you my answer to that is, nah, I don't think I would trade Westbrook for CP3, but that's just me. Go ahead.
No doubt. Let's talk about some basketball. It's a Chip. Real quick, before you start, Dash, all them people that hit me up on Facebook talking about these old ass rappers, if you start your song with cut it out. Now go ahead, Dash.
All right, look. Let's get into this NBA Finals talk, man, because these finals are actually heating up. As everybody know, unless you've been under a rock for the past week, the Heat and Mavericks are now tied at 2 apiece. All right, we got to talk about it. We know, you know, LeBron Stanley's are not going to like any criticism, but LeBron James laid a straight-up egg in Game 4 when he posted a triple single, and... You know, now there's rumors about, you know, his girl getting smashed by Rashard Lewis.
Or one of them dudes from Turquoise Jeep Records.
Last year, it was LeBron. I mean, it was Delonte supposedly smashing his mom. Do you guys think, first of all, before we talk about that game, are these rumors just cooked up by LeBron stands to provide him with an excuse every time he makes a mistake on the basketball court?
He's represented by Bob Arum. Go ahead, Austin.
Maverick.
Maverick.
Maverick
Arum. Maverick era.
We shall see after the finals. If Dallas wins, if they give Rashard a ring, then we'll know that it's official.
He is from Dallas, ain't he?
Yeah, man, he's from Dallas.
He's from Houston.
I'm starting new rumors.
I'm thinking maybe, you know, I was thinking maybe during game 3 or 4, maybe she did venture over to the other side of town. But he's from Houston.
Well, they said actually Rashard took his talent to South Beach and smashed it.
He smanged it down there.
Yeah, he smanged it. Here's the thing, though. Like, I mean, who knows? All this stuff is just rumors and speculation. But if it is in fact true, this is terrible. I just, like, you know, I'm just thankful that his father's not in the picture, because then Chris Bosh might smash him. So then we really have issues next year when they make it.
All
right, so look, game 4.
Yes.
What do you guys think happened? We know the story, you know, LeBron, and you even had comments from Deshaun Stevenson. He was actually set up by the reporter, which was Jim Rome. They tend to think that LeBron kind of checked out of that game. I don't disagree, and first of all, I don't knock Deshaun Stevenson for answering the question that was posed to him. He just happened to use the same verbiage that Rome said in the question, so now he's getting bashed. He's talking trash. I just think he was being
honest.
He always talked trash, though. Rome asked him, you know, about the game. He was like, well, honestly, you know, LeBron kind of falling back that game was good for us. You know, it's bad for the Heat, but it was good for us that he basically wasn't in attack mode. So Rome goes on to ask him, like, so do you think he was deferring and facilitating, or do you think he checked out? So his answer was, yeah, I think it was a little bit of both. I think he was early on trying to get his people involved, and then he cut him off again. Like, did he check out? He said, yeah, he pretty much checked out. So, but all you hear on the sports talk shows is the soundbite of him saying, yeah, he checked out. So it just looks like Deshaun Stevenson.
Yeah. Forget all the rumors, like, and everything, forget all that stuff. But I'm just saying, like, at this level, if you're like, you know, trying to be great, don't you have to block that out? I mean, D Wade was going through personal issues all season with his baby mom or his ex wife and his kids, but he came to play every day. I mean, Kobe was flying from a court in Colorado and putting up 40 and 50.
And in game winners, the day he came out of court in Colorado, that kind of goes back.
He still produced at a high level regardless of what was going on around him.
That goes back to what I was talking about earlier with LeBron. It's like the gentleman that you just mentioned, they take refuge on the court and the opportunity to ply their trade at the highest level and triumph over not only, you know, their opponent, but all the things that are going on in life. The answer to that is the game-winning shot. The answer to the critics, no matter what the forum is performing at a high level. Yeah, so what, I took a Caucasian chick's insides improperly. I still hit game winners and score 50 a game, and eventually it'll all go away, because what are you going to remember? The fact that I had 10 50-point games that year, you know, and I hit those game winners. LeBron, it seems like he's allowing these outside influences into his inner sanctum, which is the basketball court where he's supposed to dominate, and he's supposed to, you know, that's just my take, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that, like, this happens, but, like, you know, like Dev said, is this made up? Like, is he got the Bob Arum thing going on? And, yo, imaginary players, yo, we need a new song now after this new controversy. We need you to get back in the studio and make a song. But, Dev, what do you think about this whole situation?
I don't know. I'm just going to take it back to the game, because, first of all, I'm tired of all the excuses. I mean, the dude is human. The dude had a bad game. Now, it looks very bad on him that this bad game comes in the midst of the NBA Finals when he's playing on his super team that he put together during the summertime.
Yeah.
We know the scrutiny is high, and I don't understand the people out there who don't understand why LeBron is being scrutinized so much this season. Look at the spectacle that, you know, he made coming into the season. So there's big expectations.
I mean,
you know,
it's
there's a
true,
lot of
like,
people out there who don't want to see it happen. I for one, thought that this team was going to win multiple championships, whether it happened this year, next year, whenever. I just think they're going to get a better cast around them, and it's just inevitable.
Like,
these players are too
keeping
good.
Keeping it basketball, it wasn't even the fact that he wasn't scoring. Like, if you watch the defensive end, he wasn't putting out an effort. He wasn't getting back on defense. There were plays where there were all five feet him back down, and it's, yo, his whole team,
right,
like, he's sitting back checking.
Well, hold up. Did you see the difference in the way LeBron was playing, the way Wade was blocking centers' dunks, getting offensive rebounds? It's like you saw steam coming out of Wade's cranium, like, after each play, where LeBron was just chilling, you know what I mean?
Yo, Dwayne Wade reminded me of AI during that game, because he was like, listen, I really rather would die than lose this game.
For real.
I really would rather die. So, you know, he was doing every – I actually began to feel sorry for D. Wade, because I'm like, yo, you shouldn't ask a guard that's 6'3 and a half to be blocking a 7-footer's dunk, to be hitting the boards, because he was going to the boards like he was playing power forward, bring the ball up, do all the scoring, defend multiple positions, coach LeBron, scream at him, get back. Yo, I mean –
Well, maybe that's why he ran out of energy at the end and couldn't make his foul shot.
Yeah, that's true. Real quick, Game 4. Did y'all see Game 4 where basically Wade was in LeBron's ear? Like, yo, come on, man. Like, you know, like coaching him up.
It was a McNabb T.O. situation. But, you know, listen, Jimmy, you noted that he was, you know, he wasn't, like, even there on the defensive end. But even if you go back to the offense, it wasn't just that he wasn't scoring. A lot of times he was standing in a corner like he didn't want the ball. He wasn't even facilitating at that point.
Like he was Mario Chalmers.
So I really don't know what it is, and I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not even going to try to pick his brain and see what it is. But
hey, yo, Dev, it's the basal ganglia. The basal ganglia, when you have too much activity in that part of your brain, you're more prone to fold under anxiety. So whatever it is, if it's the finals or Rashard Lewis hitting his girl, like, his anxiety level wasn't allowing him to perform on the floor. He's missing layups and everything.
I think
it Let me bring something else up.
The basal gang, I think it has a little more to do with the pulmonary area, but that's just me.
In that same game, keeping it basketball.
I think it's the
your man Dirk had the flu, and Dirk was out there balling. Now, shout out to Dirk for that, but all the people that's comparing that to MJ –
don't
die.
everybody who gets a headache during a basketball game is now going to be compared to the flu game.
It's so irritating.
Yo,
I was watching one sports show and they were like flashing back and forth between Dirk and Mike, like, during the games, and I'm like, come on, cuz, like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Hey, yo, Jimmy. Hey, yo, fellas. Hey, yo, y'all know how I play in the Lifetime Fitness League that's online, you know, and they have bloggers. Watch a dude going to be like, yo, I got the flu. And then when he puts up 40, they're going to be like, so-and-so, John Jones has an MJ-like performance, putting up 40 with the flu. Watch.
Yeah, come on, man. I'm tired of that, though. Like, yo.
Listen, this is the last thing, because we're running out of time. Last thing about Game 4, because Jimmy did mention it, but it didn't get talked about, because all we're going to hear is, oh, I got mad love for Dwayne Wade. This is my quick opinion on that. Dwayne Wade balled out of his mind. He was an animal in Game 4, but in my mind, Dwayne Wade still choked in the last seconds of the game. That's a free throw. That's free. You make that.
Yeah.
I told B. Austin, we were watching the game, I told B. Austin he was going to miss one of the free throws. He tried to miss the first one. That joint rattled around.
Yeah, he missed the first one.
Yeah, I told
he
B. Austin he was making one of two.
He missed two.
He missed
a couple free throws earlier before that.
So, but this is in the last minute. He could have tied the game. He missed the free throw, and then the whole thing with the fumble of the ball late in the game. So he played like an animal, but, yeah, D-Wade did choke. So everybody who's out there saying, oh, y'all can criticize LeBron, you can't criticize D-Wade, shut up. All right. Next time,
I don't feel like he choked. I feel he had to give out too much energy to get to that point.
No, he choked. But some people are going to say LeBron might be rubbing off on him since he choked. He's losing some of his freshness.
Before we get all LeBron hate, nobody hates LeBron. I'm just tired of all you L squares out there acting like you can't criticize his game.
Yeah, I tell y'all straight up, I don't hate LeBron, I hate y'all.
Jimmy, tell her what an L squared is, yo.
Yo, L squared is a LeBron lover, yo. Because
or a lemon, aka a lemon. AKA a lemon.
Yeah, I'm a fan of LeBron. I hate the cats who act like LeBron doesn't make mistakes and he's above criticism. I root for LeBron any day, but you know, if I saw y'all,
I also hate the cats who go so far with their hate, like, because LeBron is either loved too much, but some people hate on this boy way too much. I mean, so fall in the middle somewhere. Stop with all the nonsense.
I always hate people who talk about, you know, who basically say stuff about athletes that, and it really has nothing to do with their basketball game. That's the definition of hating. People think if you say, oh, LeBron doesn't have a post game, oh, you hating. That's not hating. If I said, you know, LeBron can't play ball because he ugly, you know what I mean? That's hating. Like, where does that have a place in talking about basketball? But look, y'all, let's get into tonight's game. Yeah, exactly. But tonight, LeBron, because of that game, even though, you know, there's a lot of people out there giving him excuses like he didn't do anything wrong, he says himself he knows because of his Game 4 performance that tonight's game, Game 5, is the biggest game of his career. Dirk is saying on the other side that tonight's game is their Game 7. Now, we actually spoke about this earlier when the caller called in. I think it was Nick from PA. And my opinion on it is I do think that this is Dallas's Game 7. I mean, it may eventually come to a Game 7, but for now, they have to look at this like a do-or-die situation. Dallas loses tonight and has to go back and try to win two games on Miami's court. They probably need not even fly to Miami.
And my quick opinion before I fall back, I think whoever wins tonight's game wins the series, but if Miami does win tonight's game, I don't understand how they're going to celebrate considering they had a parade before the season started.
they're gonna have to have a parade on the moon or something because they already had their parade. Yeah, you're right. No, but
whoever wins tonight, I think whoever wins tonight wins the series.
I still think even if Dallas wins tonight, I still think Miami has a chance to take two at home,
like the Pistons. I thought you meant that like if Dallas loses tonight, they can try to force a Game 7 like the Pistons did with the. Spurs, even though he lost Game 7.
Yeah, but if they lose, I just think it's a wrap. I mean, that's just me. People may think they can go take two of Miami. But like I said, it's the other way around. If Miami loses tonight, they still got two cracks at it at home. Now, whether or not Dallas would allow that to happen, I don't know. Who knows? But adjustments. What needs to happen tonight for each team to win the game? Anybody, just shoot.
Yo, I got it. I think the Heat, they need to really learn how to keep leads because every time I'm watching, it's like they go up 8, lose it. Go up 10, lose it. Go up 11, lose it. And Dallas needs to basically stop getting down so early if Dallas can maintain the lead, I'm pretty sure if they get a 10-point lead, even though basketball is a game of runs, I think Dallas has the ability to extend that lead and keep that lead. Because in the fourth quarter, all of a sudden they just get energized and Dirk turns into this monster like Franken-Dirk-Stein or something.
I think the bottom line is Ramon has to play better. I mean, because even with all that being said, as bad as he played, they were right there. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of it was due to how hard D-Wade was going. I think if he plays, you know, steps his game up and plays the way he's able to play, then I mean I don't see them losing this game or the series.
I'm gonna look at it from both of y'all perspectives, let you close it out, Des. I think that like you said, Jimmy, Ramon James has to play like, you know, his L squareds believe he can. And I really think that talent wise, as I watch these games, the Heat talent wise, just looking talent wise, I don't think Dallas has the firepower to really run them into the ground. And I actually think that the Heat usually dominate these games, but I think the basal ganglia comes into play.
And not and outside of Wade, I think a lot of these dudes feel the pressure. You know, particularly their leader,
well,
LeBron.
Udonis,
the pressure gets
Udonis
to him.
Goes hard. Austin, you know Udonis plays well. Anybody who's still rocking them straight back braids has got to be tough to still do that in 2011.
True, but they feel the pressure and they give up. So I think really it's mental breakdowns with the Heat as opposed to them being overmatched or outmatched. They just break down mentally and the Mavs are able to take advantage of it. But I don't think the Mavs can really run away with it. Their best bet is to keep it close. If they can get a lead, advance it, grow it, but if not, stay close and wait for the breakdown.
We did have a caller. It looked like he just hung up. Naeem from B-More, we got like 2 minutes left, so if you want to get that in real quick, call us back. Of tonight's game, Jimmy? Like they said, I do believe, you know, what the dudes are talking about, this being the biggest game in LeBron's career, the biggest game for the Mavericks right now. And as everybody said, the Mavericks can't keep getting down and expecting to pull that magic out every time and make these comebacks.
Yep.
You can't hang your hat on that in any league, basketball, football, whatever. So for them to have
not
a chance
professional,
in game,
not against professional players.
You're right. So for them to have a chance in tonight's game, they're going to have to – I mean, it's easier said than done, but they're going to have to do something to assure that they don't get down double figures at any point in this game. I think that zone actually works for them because Miami, we all know, is a very shaky jump shooting team. What they want to do, they want to slash, and they want to get to the rim, and, you know, they want to score easy baskets from 2 feet and in. So, but with that being said, I'm going to just give you all my prediction. I actually have LeBron rebounding with a monster game tonight, and I see Miami taking the 3-2 lead and going back home to try to close them out at home. So I got Miami winning the game tonight. But, you know, I would love for Dallas to win because that would give us a chance to go to a game 7. When you don't have a rooting interest, you just want to see 7 good games. So Dallas wins, then it'll be Miami's, you know, opportunity to force a game 7 at home.
You think LeBron goes like a Planet of the Apes tonight and goes all crazy?
Yeah, I think LeBron goes ape shat tonight. Goes ape shat. So real quick before we sign off, predictions. or did everybody?
Hey, I'm rooting for the Mavs to win, but I also like to see it go 7. So, but I think LeBron and Wade are going to bounce back with a win. But then again, yo, like, I expect the Heat to be up big. Well, not big. I expect the Heat to be up going into the fourth. But, you know, I think they'll pull it out, but I'm rooting for the Mavs.
Let me give you all a stat. LeBron is averaging 2.5 points in the fourth quarter in these playoffs. With that being said, I expect I got the Heat.
Final.
I got the Heat. In the final. I got the Heat winning this one.
That was like the first time you picked them off.
Wow. No wonder it's as hot as the Middle Passage here in Philly, because Austin is changing his opinion up. I got the Heat. I think LeBron goes all Planet of the Apes and goes crazy tonight, you know, with everything going on. If not, I'll never root for him again. So, you know, let me stop.
Jimmy, you hating, man. Oh, no, you said something good about him.
Let me change my pick.
I'm going with the Mavs, man.
He couldn't do it, yo.
Thanks everybody for joining us in the war room this evening. As usual, we hope you had a great time listening to us do our thing. We enjoyed doing our thing. And thanks to all the callers, Facebookers, tweeters, and chat room participants who weighed in on tonight's topics and made the show even better. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for another great episode of The War Room. We'll be hailing whatever NBA
so
champion it is.
Philosopher?
And catch
yes.
you up on the hottest stories of the week in sports.
Yes.
It's time for some real hip-hop. Come on.
Yes. I think very deeply.
Very,
I think
very.
Very deeply. I think very deeply. I think.
begin. A teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
Let us begin. What, where, why, or when? We'll all be explained like instructions to a game. See, I'm not insane. In fact, I'm kind of rational. When I'm asking you, who is more dramatic, this one or that one? The white one or the black one? Black the punk and I'll jump up to attack one. Everyone is just a gotta lead a crew. Right up to your face and diss you. Everyone saw me on the last album cover. Holding a pistol, something far from a lover. Beside my brother, S-T-O-T-T. I just laugh, cause no one can defeat me. This is lecture number two, my philosophy. Number one was poetry, you know it's me. You know it's my philosophy. Many artists gotta learn. I'm not flammable, I don't burn. So please stop burning and learn to earn respect. Cause that's just what K.R. collects. See, what do you expect when you rhyme like a soft punk? You walk down the street and get jumped. You gotta have style. From the Bronx is Bronx. In real life, we roll correctly. A lot of suckers would like to forget me, but they can't. Cause like a champ, I have got a record. I'm knocking out the frauds in a second. On the mic, I believe that you should get loose. I haven't come to tell you I got you. So just produce, create, innovate on a higher level. I'll be back, but for now, just baffle. A teacher will begin to say, I play the nine and you play the target. You all know my name, so I guess I'll just start it. Or should I say start this? Start this. I'm the artist, often new concepts to their hardest. Yo, cause I'm a teacher, and Scott is a scholar. It ain't about money, cause we all make dollars. That's why I walk with my head up. When I hear whack rhymes, I get fed up. Rap is like a setup. A lot of games, a lot of suckers with colorful names. I'm so and so. I'm not white or red or black, I'm brown. From the Boogie Down Productions, of course, our music be thumping. Others say they're bad, but they're bugging. Let me tell you something now about hip-hop. About D-Nice, Melody, and Scott LaRock. I get a pen, a pencil, a marker. Mainly what I write is for the average New Yorker. Some MCs be talking and talking, trying to show how black people are walking. But I don't walk this way to portray or reinforce stereotypes of today. Like all my brothers eat chicken and watermelon. Talk broken English and drug selling. And teach a pure fact. The way some act in rap is kind of whack and it lacks creativity and intelligence. But they don't care because their company's selling it. It's my philosophy on the industry. Don't bother dissing me or even wishing we soften, dilute, or commercialize all the lyrics. Because it's about time one of y'all hear it. And hear it firsthand from an intelligent brown man. What it meant to DJ Scott LaRock.
You're a philosopher? Yes, I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak. How many MCs must get this before somebody says don't with Chris? This is just one style out of many. Like a piggy bank, this is one penny. My brother's name is Kenny. That's Kenny Walker. My other brother, ICU, my Sionka. Boogie Down Productions is made up of teachers. It's not about a salary, it's all about reality. Teach and do the world good. down to his very last compound. See how it sound? A little unrational. A lot of MCs like to use the word dramatical.
Fresh for 88, you suckers.